Take your Bibles to Psalm 71. We do not know with any certainty that David wrote this psalm. It's really a matter of conjecture, and you know what the definition of conjecture is. It's what we call an intelligent guess, or at least a guess that we try to think that we are intelligent about. But I feel that more than likely David did. This is a psalm for the aged. You heard about a teacher who had some small pupils in her class, and they were told to write an account as to how they had spent their Christmas holidays. And they were all told to write a little essay. And one youngster wrote about a visit to his grandparents in a life care community for retired folks in Florida. And they had gone down from up north over the holidays to visit with Grandpa and Grandma. The interesting thing is, listen to how this little child described this visit to the newly transplanted Grandpa and Grandma in Florida. And I quote, "We always spend Christmas with Grandma and Grandpa. They used to live here in a big red house, but now Grandpa got retarded and they moved to Florida. They live in a place with lots of retarded people. They live in tin huts. They ride big three-wheel tricycles. They go to a big building they call a wrecked hall, but it's fixed now, as far as I can see. They play games there and do exercises, but they don't do them very good. There's a swimming pool, and they go to it and just stand there in the water with their hats on. I guess they just don't know how to swim. My grandma used to bake cookies and stuff, but I guess she just forgot how. Nobody cooks. They all go out to fast food restaurants. As you come into the park, there's a dollhouse with a man sitting in it, and he watches all day, so they can't get out without him seeing them. They wear badges with their names on them. I guess they don't know who they are. My grandpa and grandma worked hard all their lives, and they earned their retirement. I wish they would move back home, but I guess the man in the dollhouse just won't let them out." That's the musings of a child describing his vacation with Grandpa and Grandma. Interestingly enough, we read the story about how to know when you're getting old. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Your knees buckle, and your belt won't. You sit down in a rocking chair, and you can hardly get it going. Your back goes out more often than you do. You know all the answers, but no one asks the questions. Your little black book contains a lot of phone numbers, but they all end in MD. Your mind makes agreements that your body can't keep. Your favorite newspaper column was written 25 years ago. After painting the town red, you wait a long time before applying a second coat. You burn the midnight oil by 9 p.m. Anything under a quarter isn't worth bending over to pick up anymore. Whenever you see a pretty lady go by, your pacemaker opens the garage door. How about that one? You get winded playing checkers. Your children begin to look middle-aged. The gleam in your eye is the sun reflecting on your bifocals. You sink your teeth into a nice, juicy steak, and they stay there. You climb the ladder to reach the top shelf, but forgot what you were up there searching for. Well, we have a psalm here that actually transcends just the aged, and I really think it's for all of us. But you know, when we really look at the latter years of our life, we need to realize that history records that many people have actually made their greatest contributions to society after the age of 65. The Earl of Halsburg, for example, was 90 when he began preparing a 20-volume revision of English law. Goethe wrote Faust at 82. Galileo made his greatest discovery when he was 73. At age 69, Hudson Taylor was still vigorously working on the mission field, opening up new territories in Indochina. And we all know the Bible story. At 85, Caleb wanted that mountain and took the strongholds of the giants. Psalm 71 was written during the latter years, most likely, of David's life, if you take the viewpoint that David wrote it. And the king, we know, lived to an age of 70 years. You'll see that the reason why we call this a Psalm of the Aged, you look at verse 9, for instance, he makes the reference, "Cast me not off in time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." Then in verse 18, you'll notice, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." I think what the Lord wants us to remember as we delve into Psalm 71 is that here in Psalm 71, we don't have the musings of a youthful, inexperienced believer in the Lord God of Israel. We have the meditations and the experiences of a seasoned servant of God that has walked with God for many years, and we are able to glean from his experiences. And we're going to be looking at three things that gave David strength, especially as he neared the end of his life. We're going to see that the psalm divides itself in a threefold way. In verses 1 through 8, we have confidence in God proclaimed. Confidence in God proclaimed. Let's see how David's confidence in God is proclaimed. Notice what he says here. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." David was focused. His confidence was focused in the Lord and in the Lord alone. The word trust means that he leaned on the Lord. In a day when many perhaps would lean on walkers, here the psalmist leans on the Lord. And he says, "Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." And here the psalmist is saying, "I'm confiding in God." And he proclaims his confidence in the Lord. He goes on to say, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Now let me stop here and make a comment on verse 5. We, because of time factors, need to be very selective. But why is it that David was able to confidently trust in the Lord? He was able to confidently trust in the Lord because he had learned to do so from his youth. Those who learn to trust in the Lord early in life will find it easier to trust in the Lord in the latter years of their lives. And that's where his confidence was. I think of individuals that have walked with God for many years, even here in this room, and you got saved early in life. Let me tell you, the longevity and the time that you have spent with the Lord indeed will pay off. And you will find it easier to trust in the Lord when you are old if you trusted Him when you were young. And that's what we find in verse 5. You've been my trust from my youth. And it says this in verse 6, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. You know the fallacy of those who believe that life begins only after the baby takes their first breath. The Lord has chosen us from our mother's womb. It says, thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. David saw God's hand in every part of his life. There were many people who afflicted him. In verse 7, it says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. People would make fun of him. Notice what he says in verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. You know, folks, one thing have I noticed, that in senior years, oftentimes there are two divisions of people. The glorifiers and the gripers. And honestly, it isn't necessarily that the glorifiers have any better circumstances. But folks, we're going to go down the corridor of life either kicking and screaming and complaining or seeing God's hand, as David says here, all of my life from the womb to the tomb. Trust the Lord. David says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise. You see, sometimes, folks, it's hard for us to come up with our own praise. And we may not, in and of ourselves, be able to muster up the praise. But David says, Lord, may your praise well up in my lungs and in my voice, and may I praise you for what you are doing. And he had that desire, the confidence in God. He proclaimed it here, even in verse 8 as well. So we've seen in verses 1 through 8, his confidence in God proclaimed. Now let's take a look at his confidence in God in prayer, in verses 9 through 13. Notice what he says. Cast me not off in time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. The psalmist here realizes that his strength is weakened. He's more prone to the attacks and the malicious inventions of those that would seek him harm. But he says, Lord, you're my protector. You're the one that I'm able to look to you. And he says, mine enemies, they speak against me, verse 10. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Hey, he's old now. He's weak. He's vulnerable. And notice what they say. They say, God has forsaken him. Hey, he's weak now. He's in a position where God's blessing isn't upon him, they say. God has forsaken him. Persecute him and take him, for there is none to deliver him. But notice, David says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Hear his confidence in prayer. Now I want you to notice verses 14 through the end of the chapter. Here we have the psalmist's confidence in God practiced. He let it be shoe leather. His convictions affected his conduct. Notice verse 14. In spite of all of his persecutors and persecutions, in verses 9 through 13, notice his commitment here. His confidence practiced. But I will hope continually. Continually. There's not a time when we can let up and let doubt come in. And I will praise thee more and more. You know, David is saying this in effect. When doubts have more of a tendency to surface, I have to increase my praise quota. I have to work at it more. I have to begin looking at every part of my life and begin learning to praise the Lord. When the devil would seek to overwhelm me with doubt and despair and negative thinking, I'm going to turn the tables on the devil, and I'm going to use his attacks as an occasion to begin praising the Lord more and more. And when we praise the Lord, and Satan sees that his advances are being turned on him and are becoming the occasion of praise, he flees. He hates praise. What is it that kept David going? Well, the same thing that kept Caleb going. Notice verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. David was not going to be allowed to be placed in a retreat mode. He was going to be on the offensive for the Lord. I'm going to show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation. I'm going to keep purpose before me. I'm going to keep the advancement of God's kingdom before me. I don't know how many days I have left, he says, but I want to keep on serving the Lord. And I like verse 16. When you are weak, you think of this verse. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. I will go in the strength of the Lord. When I don't have a strength to go one step further, you go in the strength of the Lord. His strength is not sapped. We haven't even begun to tap into his strength. And he says, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. He was interested in proclaiming God's righteousness, not trying to defend himself and his cause. Notice, he continues practicing his faith, practicing his confidence. It wasn't just a verbal confidence, but he practiced it. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. You know, those of you that have been saved early in life, to those that much is given, much is required. God expects more of those of you that have been taught earlier in life, and you've been raised, you're a second generation, maybe even a third generation Christian. Perhaps some of you have been to Christian school. Some of you have been homeschooled. God is going to hold you more responsible, for you have received more and a greater light. But notice, he says here, you've taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Sad to see how many people have grown up in a Christian school, and you follow them in the later years of your life. I've had the privilege of teaching in a Christian school for about 13 and a half years. And I've been there long enough to see the ones that I've taught in high school either go on for the Lord or, frankly, just hit the skids. And I've seen both. But what a joy it is when I see other young people, irregardless of what field they go into, they get out there and they declare the wondrous works of God. And that brings great joy. Now, the writer of the Psalms now continues here. He says, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Notice, until I have shown thy strength unto this generation. You know, the greatest privilege of the latter years of our lives is that we can reach our current generation for Christ. And I'm talking about grandchildren and great-grandchildren and Sunday school children and neighbor children around us and those contacts that we have in the service of the Lord. David said, "Lord, you've kept me here this long because you want me to teach." You know, the Word of God says the older women ought to teach the younger women, the book of Titus says. Sometimes there are shortcomings to the massive departmentalization that you see in so many Sunday schools across America today. You see these super churches that divide their body, the local body, by every 5 years of age. There's no opportunity often in many of these super churches to enable the older women to teach the younger women because they just don't have any contact with them because of all of the departmentalization. Well, here, David says, "Lord, I want to reach this generation. I want to impart the wisdom that I have learned." And you know, that gives strength to the person that's getting up in years, and it also gives strength to the young people. Some of the most blessed of memories are my grandmother that loved the Lord, and we would read the Scriptures together. Now, notice what it says here as we go on. It says in verse 18, "Forsake me not until I've shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Lord, I don't want to die. I don't want to go home to be with the Lord without having an opportunity to reach this generation. He saw where he had a part. You know, there ought not to be unemployment in the body of Christ. So often as a pastor, you'll hear comments, "Well, I used to do this up north." Well, I'm retired now. I just want to just sit. You know, there's a job for everyone, irregardless of their age, in the house of the Lord. He says here in verse 19, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things. O God, who is like unto thee?" He maintained a fear of the Lord and a love for the Lord, and his transcendence kept that before him. "Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depth of the earth." David never forgot the mistakes that he had made. Yes, the Lord had inflicted chastening in his life, and David knew well, and we've studied some of these Psalms. But you know, David said, "Lord, you're going to give me life. You're going to bring me up, even from the depths of this trial that I'm going through. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel." David still liked music, and he still practiced his instrument, even in his old age. I'm sure that the arthritis was gripping his hands, and he wasn't able to be as dexterous as when he was younger. But he said, "Lord, you receive my worship. My lips," verse 23, "shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee." I may not be able to hit all of the high notes. My voice may crack once in a while, but I want to make a joyful noise. "And my soul, which thou hast redeemed." Lord, I want to rejoice. Do you see how David kept his eyes on the Lord, not on the circumstances? He says in verse 24, as he continues practicing his confidence, "My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long." Notice he didn't use Ma Bell for gossip. He didn't spend time talking about his sacroiliac and his lumbago and his kidney stones and all of his woes. But he says here, "Lord, I want to stay young. I want to stay enthusiastic. I want to focus on thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. May the Lord challenge us at whatever age we are. You know, I've met people that were, frankly, 40 years of age that acted old. They really did. It's a state of mind. And yet I've known people that were 98 that were as youthful as I've ever seen. And they'd go here and they'd go there and they would run circles around young people sometimes. And which camp do you want to be in? Do you want to be with the groaners or the glorifiers? Let's praise the Lord. Now, this doesn't imply that we're always going to be in perfect health. Certainly not. But we can glorify God and exercise our will, recognize His sovereignty, and say, Lord, You're my confidence. And Lord, if You desire to use me to glorify You through the vehicle of suffering and trials and testings, may that be the case. But I just want to be a praiser. May the Lord challenge us to do that. And by the way, how can you safeguard that? By starting to be a praiser at age 15? By starting to be a praiser? Have you noticed that old age accentuates negative characteristics if you're not careful? Have you ever noticed that? So where does that start? We've always heard of the phrase dirty old man. Did you know that dirty old men were once dirty young men? That's right. And righteous old men were men that trusted and stayed in the paths of the Lord and trusted in Him. May God use the senior members of our church to lead and guide and preserve the old landmarks. We need you, folks. We need those of you that are listening over some other medium and you are involved in your local church, or you should be. You can be a blessing. You can be a blessing. Get the salt out of the salt shaker. Reach that young generation for Christ. Don't believe all of this stuff of the generation gap. We need you, and we want to see your influence keep the church on target for the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, may we be like Caleb's. May we be like the psalmist here in Psalm 71. Thank You, Lord, for what You are accomplishing in each and every life. And may we, Father, practice the content of this psalm at whatever age we may be in. And Lord, help us to pray for one another. Lord, it's difficult to have physical trials and testings. And we need one another's prayers to continue to praise and to serve You. Help us to uphold one another. And Lord, we pray that we might be able to hear that well done, good and faithful servant someday when we stand before You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.